Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. And I'm going to ask that whenever you find your spot, in honor of the reading of the Word of God, I'm going to ask that you would stand to your feet. I know you've been standing for quite a while, and I apologize for that. But what we're saying whenever we're standing in honor of these words is what we're saying is we reverence these words. We're saying we hold these words in high esteem. We're saying we hold these words in high importance. And I want to just first and foremost warn you about this passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture is a very convicting text. As I have read this text this past week, as I have wrestled with this text for the past really 7 days, the Spirit of God has been speaking to my heart. The Spirit of God has been convicting me. So I just want to encourage you, because this is what God's been doing in my life this past week through this text. I want to really encourage you this morning to open up your hearts to this text, to open up your hands to this text, and say, God, speak to me, because there might be some things in here that maybe offend you. I've been offended a lot this week as the Spirit of God has been speaking to me. So there might be some things where the Spirit of God says, and this is going on with you. This is going on with you, because there's been many things where the Spirit of God has said, Caleb, you need to check yourself on these things. So I'm going to ask that we would all open up our hearts, that we would all open up our hands to what God would have for us today in his beautiful word. Paul says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, joking which are out of place. He says, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, for everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. He says, walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. He says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God, we come before your throne this morning, and we give these next few moments to you. God, we say thank you so much for your beautiful word that is there to teach us about you, but also, Father, it is there to teach us about us. It's there to teach us how much we need you. It's there, Father, to keep us in line. It's there to protect us. So, Father, we ask and pray today that as we open up this text and as we work our way through it, as we expose what this text is saying, we just ask and pray, Father, that you would make us more like you, God. We ask that you would make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And, Father, as we leave this place in just a few moments, God, may we leave, God, changed. May we leave, Father, having encountered the living and true God through your word. We love you, Father. We love you. We love you. We love you. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So there are a million things that I love about being a parent. One of my favorite things is watching my kids pretend or watching my kids imitate. In our house, my sons have, over the years, pretended and imitated every single superhero imaginable. Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. They've even imitated Buzz and Woody from Toy Story. Right now, my daughter Macy, she is imitating Belle from Beauty and the Beast. She's also imitating Elsa and Anna from Frozen. She's also imitating Ariel from The Little Mermaid. And I love watching my children do that. It brings me so much joy as a parent to watch them pretend, to watch them imitate their, you know, heroes that are on their Disney shows and on their on the TV. And this is, it's a very good thing for children to do this. And while it's good for children to imitate superheroes or Disney princesses with their imagination, you can write this down. Followers of Christ are called to be imitators of God. Followers of Christ are called to be imitators of God. Again, notice what Paul says. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And this word imitator that Paul uses here, it could also be translated follow. So Paul is saying, because God loves you, because you are his child, he is saying, imitate God, follow God. And I understand that maybe many of you in this place this morning, you didn't have a good fatherly example growing up to follow, to imitate. But guess what? The God that we serve, the God of the Bible, he is a good father. He is a good father, and he is worthy of imitation. He is worthy for us to imitate him. And then Paul makes it very practical for followers of Christ. He says, this is how you imitate God. And he says this, you write this down, by walking in love. By walking in love, look at what he says in verse 2. He says, imitate God and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So Paul is saying, if we want to imitate our heavenly Father, if we want to imitate the God of the Bible, we must first and foremost walk in love as Christ has loved us and gave himself up for us. You see, the way Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, this was to do. He is called it sacrifice. And this is what Paul is calling Christians to do. He is calling Christians to love, to give themselves up for others. He is calling Christians to sacrifice for others. And Paul says, when Christ gave himself up for us, he says, this was a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What in the world is Paul talking about here? This means that the love Christ offered us by giving himself up for us was a sweet-smelling offering to God. You see, his sacrifice was pleasing to God. And Paul is saying, this is why we are to walk in love. First and foremost, because Christ loved us. And when we love other people, it is a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, there's not much worse than something that really stinks, right? Or something that really smells bad. You see, you would never give your spouse a gift that stinks, right? Maybe for a joke you would, but in all reality, you would not give your spouse a heartfelt gift that stinks. You see, when we walk in love, by imitating God, by imitating Jesus Christ, whenever we walk in love, what we are doing is we are offering a sweet-smelling gift to God. When we imitate God by walking in love, this is pleasing to God. Paul said to the church in Corinth, he says, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. You see, we are the aroma of Christ to God. We offer a sweet-smelling gift to God when we walk in love. And walking in love, church family, this is the spiritual mark of a Christian. Jesus himself said, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have what? If you have love for one another. This is a spiritual mark of a Christian. John said, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You see, we will be imitators of God whenever we walk in love. So it begs this question that we all must ask and answer today. And the question is this: how is your love towards others? Are you willing to give up your life? Are you willing to sacrifice like Jesus did? How is your love foremost? Whenever others, church family, we will be imitators of God first and foremost. Whenever we walk in love. Why? Because God is love. That's who our Father is. He is a God of love. And followers of Christ, too, must walk in love. Next, we will be imitators of God, write this down, by walking in purity. We will be imitators of God by walking in purity. Verse 3, notice what he says. He says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. If you write in your Bible or you underline in your Bible, circle that word immorality. That word immorality that Paul uses here, it's where we get our English word pornography. And it is referring to any and every kind of sexual immorality that goes against the design and plan of God. And Paul is saying in this text, he is saying immorality, any kind of impurity, any kind of sexual impurity. He's saying coveting, which is greediness. He's saying these things should not be a part of the follower of Christ's life. Be named among, far to even say, he says in this text, it must not even be named among you. The NIV translates it like this. He says, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality among God's people. He says, these types of impurities are not proper for Christians. He says, no hint, not even named among followers of Christ. He says in verse 4, he says, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But he says, instead, let there be thanksgiving. And in context, Paul is more than likely referring to any type of language that is vulgar or any type of language that is sexually immoral. It's the kind of language that one might use when they get around, you know, their friends or their buddies telling nasty jokes or talking about the opposite sex in an unholy way or having a filthy mouth that degrades the opposite sex. And Paul is saying in this text, this type of talking, these types of things, they are out of place for the Christian. And notice what he says here. He says, replace this type of language with thanksgiving. He's saying, instead of sexual immorality, and instead of coveting, instead of being greedy, instead of having a filthy mouth, instead of having foolish talk, instead of crude joking, Paul is saying, replace these types of things, replace this type of talk with thanksgiving. And this is a great point of application for us during this Thanksgiving season. It's this: anytime that we are tempted to say something filthy, or any time that we are tempted to say something vulgar, Paul is saying, instead of talking to your friends with a filthy mouth or filthy language or vulgar talk, Paul is saying, instead of talking like this, tell them what you are thankful for. Tell them what you are grateful for. Snodgrass says, thanksgiving is an antidote for sin, for it is difficult to both give thanks and sin at the same time. He says, replace this type of talk, this type of thinking with thanksgiving. Verse 5, he goes on to say, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. What's Paul doing here? That's pretty powerful words, right? That's pretty strict language. What's he doing here? Paul is offering a warning. He's offering a warning. He is saying that anyone who persists in sexually immoral sins and impurities, he is saying, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Why? Because more than likely, they're not true believers. Kent Hughes says, do Christians fall into these sins? And the answer is this, of course. But true Christians will not persist in them. You see, true Christians will not persist in sexually immoral actions and behaviors. Verse 6, he continues with this strong language. He says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." In other words, Paul is saying, do not be deceived by those who are not recognizing God's ways, saying empty words like, "I can do what I want." Saying things like, "Love is love," right? He's saying, don't be deceived by these empty words, saying things like, "I can sleep around with whoever I want to. It's my choice." Paul's saying, do not be deceived by this type of language. Do not be deceived when someone says, "Sex outside of marriage is not a sin." Paul's saying, don't be deceived by that. Those are empty words. It's not true. No, Paul is saying, because of these things, because of this type of immoral thinking and immoral practice, he is saying, the wrath of God is coming upon them because of their disobedience. And I get it, that walking in purity in this day and age, it's a difficult thing to do. It's a very difficult thing to do. At our fingertips, through our phones or through our computers, we have access to any and every kind of impurity that the planet has to offer. But Paul says this, Christians walk in purity. They imitate God by walking in purity. So here are some questions that we must all ask ourselves today. Am I walking in purity? By my actions? By what I see? By what I allow myself to see? In my thinking? In my thought life? Even in my convictions? Am I walking in purity? Am I coveting or lusting for anything that I am not meant to have? You see, church family, we would be wise today. Students in this room, you would be wise today to run from anything that is sexually impure. Pornography, sexual encounters and relationships outside of the confines of marriage. You would be wise today to run from that. We would be wise today to replace filthy talk with thankfulness. We would be wise today to replace coveting with contentment. You see, we will be imitators of God whenever we walk in purity. Next, you can write this down. We can be imitators of God by walking in light. By walking in light. And again, Paul, he keeps it very practical for followers of Christ. This is how you and I can imitate God as children of light. He says this. He says in verse 7, therefore, do not become partners with them. This word partners that Paul uses here, it could also be translated partaker or participant. So Paul is saying, do not even participate with. Do not even partner with those who are walking in sexual impurity. That's what he's saying in this text. He's saying, do not even associate with those who do not adhere to what God's word says about sexual purity. That's what he's saying in this text. Verse 8, he says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. He says, walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And notice what Paul says here in verse 8. He doesn't say, at one time you were in darkness. No, in verse 8, he says, for at one time you what? You were darkness. He says, but now you are light in the Lord. And this is what God does whenever a person submits their life to Christ. He takes them from being darkness to being light in Him. And Paul is saying, because you have gone from being darkness to being light in the Lord, Paul says, walk as children of the light. If you're, again, writing your Bible or circle in your Bible, underline that phrase, walk as children of the light, or circle that phrase, walk as children of the light. It's a very important phrase. It's an imperative in the language, in the Greek language. What that means is that it is a command. It's a command for believers. Paul is saying, because Jesus Christ has transferred you from being darkness to being light in the Lord, he makes a command. He says, walk as children of the light. He commands believers to do this. In other words, it's not an option. Now that you are in Christ, he says, you walk as children of the light. He's saying, walk in love. Do not walk in impurity. Do not partake with those who do walk in impurity. He says, command, walk as children of the light. Verse 10, and he says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. This word discern that Paul uses here, it also means to test. In other words, he is saying, test what comes your way. When the world throws at you temptations or decisions that you need to make, Paul is saying, test what comes your way. He's saying, figure out what God's will is and do it. He's saying, do not give in to the temptations that come your way. Test everything that comes your way and choose to walk in the light of the Lord. That's what he's saying. He keeps on, verse 11. He says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Again, he's really saying the same thing. He's saying, be a part of anything that is impure or against the ways of God. And he goes so far to even say this. He says, expose the works of darkness. Again, if I were you, I would circle that word expose, or I would underline that word expose. You know why? It's another command. It's another imperative. And it means this. It means to tell of a fault. It means to convict. So Paul is saying this. Take no part in things that are not of God. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. And he says, but this. But instead, expose them. In other words, what Paul is saying is this. He is saying, believers, call out sin. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, call out sin. He's saying, warn a person when they are walking in darkness. James said the same thing. He says, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And I get it. This may be something that you might feel a little bit uncomfortable with, but as believers in Christ, as we are called to walk in the light, at the same time, followers of Christ, we are called to expose sin. What this text is saying, but this first and foremost includes dealing with our own sin, as the Bible tells us to do, but also the sin of another person who is walking in the darkness. This doesn't mean that you're being judgmental. That's not what it means. This means that you care for that person and you don't want to see sin destroy their life. So Paul says, he says, walk in the light. And he says, expose sin. Tony Meredith says, the believer is called to expose the darkness in the corrupt places of our world. Like where young children are trafficked, enslaved, and forced to work against their will, and where power is abused in other ways. He says, we must bring the light of justice, exposing shameful, secretive sins, and bring the transforming light of the gospel to everyone, including the guilty enslavers themselves. Paul says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Walk in light, command, he says, but instead expose them. Verse 12, he says, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I love verse 14. In my study this past week, I was reading, and most commentators say that verse 14 is more than likely an early church hymn, or it is an early church confession, that whenever a person was being baptized, they would make this confession. They would say these words, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And Paul is using this early church hymn. He's using this early church confession, and he's saying, believer, you've been baptized into Christ. He's saying, believer, don't walk in the darkness. He's saying, wake up. Walk in the light. Awake, O sleeper. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So how about you? How about me? Are you walking in the light this morning by staying away from anything and everything that is against the ways of God? Have you exposed and dealt with your own sin? Is there anyone in your life that is walking in darkness that you need to call out or expose because you know that their sin is going to destroy their life? As followers of Christ, we are called to do this. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We will be imitators of God when we walk in the light. We can imitate God by walking in love, by walking in purity, by walking in light. And lastly, we will be imitators of God by walking in wisdom. By walking in wisdom. And here are these last few verses. Let's not close out just yet. These last three verses are just of utmost importance. Look at what Paul says in verses 15, 16, and 17. He gives us three ways as to how we can walk in wisdom. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. He says, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Again, he gives us three ways as to how we can walk in wisdom. First of all, he says this. He says, look carefully then how you walk. In other words, he's saying, pay attention to your life. He's saying, don't just go through life nonchalantly. He's saying, pay attention to your life. He's saying, ask yourself questions. Look inside of your heart and ask yourself questions like this. Am I walking with the Lord? Am I doing what His Word says? Am I walking in faith? Am I doing what God has called me to do? He's saying, pay attention to your life. You see, you and I will be wise whenever we do this, whenever we pay attention to our life. The Bible speaks greatly of walking in wisdom. The book of Proverbs is full of wisdom verses. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Again, we will be wise whenever we pay attention to our lives and look carefully as to how we are living and walk in wisdom. And then Paul goes on in verse 16, he says this. He says, make the best use of your time. with your life. Make the best use of your time, he says, because the days are evil. In other words, Paul is saying, he's saying to this church in Ephesus, and he's saying to you and I, he's saying life is short. Life is short, and we are surrounded by evil in this world, and Paul is calling believers to live their lives for what matters. Guess what, church family? We'll be wise when we come to understand this, that life is short, that life is a mist, that life is a vapor, that life is a shadow. I love this poem, and I say it all the time. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And Paul is saying, make the best use of the time that God has given you and use it and live your life for the glory of his name. And he closes this section by saying this. He says, don't be foolish. Look carefully how you walk. Pay attention to your life. Make the best use of the time that God has given you. He says, don't be foolish. He says, understand what the will of the Lord is. How do you understand what the will of the Lord is? It's very simple. It's to read this book. Do what it says. You want to know what the will of God is for your life? It's very simple. Read this book. Do what it says. Even when it goes against your flesh, because I'm telling you it will. I read scripture every single day, and it always goes against my flesh, and it will. But we still live it out. We still obey it. Even when the scripture goes against the culture, and guess what, church family? This book will go against the culture. But we live it out. Even when it goes against the grain of culture. That's what Paul says. He says, do not be foolish. We would be foolish to live according to our flesh. We would be foolish to go with the grain of culture. But Paul says, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And we understand what the will of the Lord is by opening up this beautiful book that our God has given us, reading it, applying it to our lives, meditating on it, and living it out, even when it goes against our fleshly nature, even when it goes against the grain of culture. And by doing this, by looking carefully as to how we walk, by making the best use of our time, by not being foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and by doing this, you'll walk in wisdom. Ferguson says, God is God. You are but one of his creatures. Your only joy is to be found in obeying him. Your true fulfillment is to be found in worshiping him. Your only wisdom is to be found in trusting and knowing him. As followers of Christ, we can be imitators of God by walking in love, by walking in purity, by walking in light, and by walking in wisdom. Would you bow your heads with me? How's God speaking to you today? I know this text has greatly spoken to me this past week. And I want to speak to two different people in this room. Maybe you're in this place today and you're not a believer. Can I say to you today that if you're not a follower of Christ, that in your own strength, you cannot walk in love, purity, light, or wisdom. It's only by the power and strength of God, through the Spirit of God, that you can do this. And the only way that you can have the Spirit of God living through you to help you and to empower you to do these things is first and foremost by you submitting your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Why do you need to do this? Why do you need to submit your life to the Lordship of Christ? Because the Bible says this, that you and I are dead in our sin apart from Jesus Christ. The Bible says this, apart from Jesus Christ, that you are darkness. The Bible says this, because of sin, And sin is mistakes that we've all done. And the Bible says because of sin, we deserve to go to a very real place called hell. That's eternal separation from God. And the only way that you can have your sin forgiven and to receive the Spirit of God to empower you to walk in love and in purity and light and wisdom, the only way that Christ to save you. Romans 10 says this in the Bible, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And maybe you're in this place today and you're not a believer, and you feel the Spirit of God calling you to God. You feel the Spirit of God calling you to submit your life to the Lordship of Christ. You can call on Him right now to save you. There's no magical prayer you pray. You simply cry out in faith and say, God, I know that I am a sinner, something like that. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I receive His forgiveness. I confess that He is Lord, and now, God, I commit my life to follow You the best that I know how. And by you submitting your life to the Lordship of Christ, the Bible says that whenever you do this, that the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you, and the Spirit of God will be there to help you to be an imitator of God, to walk in love, to walk in purity, to walk in light, and to walk in wisdom. Maybe you're in this place this morning and you are a Christian, but you know that there's an area of your life that you have not been imitating God. Now, I'll just be really honest with you. There were ways this past week where the Spirit of God strictly pointed out to me and showed me areas in my life that were not walking according to God's ways and His standards. And maybe you're in this place this morning and the Spirit of God has shown you some way in your life that you're not imitating God. Maybe you have not been walking in love or purity or light or wisdom. Know this, the Bible says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this past week, I've had to repent of some things. And my question to you this morning is this. Would you repent of anything the Spirit of God is revealing to you? Would you just simply give that to God this morning and say, God, I give this to you. I want to imitate you in every area of my life. God, would you help me by the Spirit of God that's living inside of me? Would you help me, God, to imitate you in every area of my life? Because I just want to represent Jesus Christ. I want to represent my Heavenly Father. God, we love you. We just come before your throne this morning and we say thank you so much for your beautiful word that a lot of times is not comfortable. A lot of times can make us very uncomfortable. But Father, we thank you so much for it because it is there to guide us. It is there to protect us. God, it is there to make us more like you. It is there to help conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And God, we just say thank you so much for your beautiful word. And God, for the glory of your name, help us to be a people who would imitate you in every area of our life, who would imitate our Heavenly Father by walking in love, by walking in purity, by walking in light, Father, by walking in wisdom. Because Father, we want to make much of your name as we are on this earth. With the time that we've been given, we want to honor your name, God, so that the world around us, Father, can simply see Jesus Christ in us. God, we love you. We love you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand to your feet right now? We're just going to sing a song of worship back to God. We're going to tell him that he is worthy of every song we could ever sing. He's worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Maybe you're in this place today and you need someone to pray with you. Maybe there's something going on in your life and you just want someone to join with you in prayer. We would love to do that right now. Maybe you're in this place this morning and you have questions about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We would love to help you with that right now. But you sing to God. Let's give him praise. Let's give him worship. If you need prayer for any reason, we would love to pray over you right now as we stand and as we sing.